Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Something's blipped here. There we go. Grace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson, and in preparing for the sermon, kind of stare at the lesson and read it over and over again and ask, what are the words that come out the most powerfully? As I did that this week, verse 17, the first four words, they shall be mine. And then the next five words, says the Lord of hosts, they shall be mine. And this is a word of God for those in the Old Testament times who were living through a period where it was not certain that anything would last of the nation of Israel, of the people of God, of the temple of Jerusalem, of anything. And facing that uncertainty and the uncertainty of their lives and what's going to happen to the people of God who are living through these times when everything seems to be going wrong and the whole world turning away from God and those who will not turn away from God coming under more and more intense pressure. We're all around you. You seem to be being hit from all sides and you question, is it worth it? What happens when the wicked get away with everything? What happens when they're even making fun of the whole idea of prayer? Christians at times have gone through exactly the same thing. See, we live in a confusing mess, don't we? But there is that word from God, they shall be mine. How important is that? Day after day after day after day to have that same promise over and over and over again, the unchanging promises of God, they shall be mine. But we as Christians, we look ahead and we know there will be time of clarity, and we will, again in the words of Malachi, we will see the distinction. The return of Jesus, the end of the world, is going to look very different to the two parts of the human race. Two parts. The believing in Jesus part, and the not knowing Jesus part. To the one, it will be like Jesus says, coming suddenly like a trap, snapping shut. And there are other passages where the Bible talks about them calling on the mountains and the hills to, quote, fall upon us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Which still actually is the oddest phrase of the book of Revelation, the wrath of the Lamb. They don't know him, they don't see him, they don't get it. But to us, that day will be what we have been waiting for and more besides. All the joy that we can bring to our Christian imagination and multiple times more. Jesus, risen from the dead, returning in glory to call to life all who believe in him and to share eternity with us. Oh, and there will be celebration, and the celebration will continue on, and the celebration will not have an end. The difference. Actually, the difference is very simply the gospel, the word of God telling about the cross of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, the prayers from the cross, Father, forgive them. My God, why have you forsaken me? The words from the cross, it is finished. The forgiveness of sins. And then on the third day, rising from the tomb. That gospel in the hearts of the believers. And with that word of God is held eternal promises. And as the eternal promises are planted in the hearts of believers and the souls of believers, then we have eternity. And it is an eternity of being connected to the blessings of God. Without that word of God, without it, it would not just be the end of the world holding the terrors of the end of the world. Without that word of God, it would also be being confronted with absolute truth, confronted with unchanging moral truths of right and wrong, and with no longer being able to avoid seeing the condition of the soul deep within. But for us who fear his name, Malachi chapter 4 then, for us who fear his name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. The righteousness of God, where God's righteousness is what God does in Jesus to make us righteous, and that takes us right back to the cross over and over again. Well, that was part one. Now for part two, which is the part I enjoyed writing and preaching and... and Norma, by the way, I underlined about four specific phrases in here. And as you were reading, you emphasized each one. Got just a touch louder for each of those phrases to perfection. I don't know how that happened. Maybe it was God. So the first one, and this is all the sweetness of the good news. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. That's the central one. Incredibly important in a life where we do not know what the next week or the next month or the next year will bring, or whether our lives are headed in the right or the wrong direction, with decisions that could bring joy and prosperity, or they could bring complete ruin and a mess that we will end up having to deal with for the rest of our lives. Here comes a little aside. I was in a conversation this last week, and it turned to, well, that's why there's a book called Proverbs in the Bible. You know why there's a book called Proverbs in the Bible? Because through your life, you have to make these choices and these decisions and very practical things. And for many of them, you do not know the outcome when you make that choice. You buy a car, you buy a house, you choose a career path, and on. How will that turn out? You may not know for 10 or 20 years. You become a parent and you make choices. How am I going to raise my child? You may not know the full effects of that until you see grandchildren. A nation is formed and is formed on certain principles. You may not know the effects of that for 100 years or more. And so the book of Proverbs is set up as the king setting up wise men to watch generation after generation after generation and ask and answer the questions. What things turn out well? What things bring ruin? And understanding that it may be 100 years before it plays out. That's what we've got in that book. So, in our lives, we have all kinds of things that we do not know what the end result will be. But we have God tipping his hand. Turning to the last page with us and letting us know the final word, they will be mine. Through all the mess and confusion of this life, temptations to everything in this world, and not being sure exactly how to deal with it all, they shall be mine, says the Lord. Through wealth or poverty, through health or sickness, through the sudden, unexpected shocks in this life, again, the promise, they shall be mine. Will aging be a peaceful time, the golden years, or will it be filled with suffering for some of us who are not quite there? Will we even grow old? And God brings his promise again. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. And you know that he has the power to fulfill that promise. The second of the phrases. In the day when I make up my treasured possession. Do you see what God calls you there? My treasured possession. Right now, Jesus is doing the work of gathering souls into his kingdom out of every tribe and nation. And he does this through thousands upon thousands of different and various encounters where he uses the words and promises of God to call each soul, drawing us along, guiding us into eternal life, keeping, holding, sustaining, being the good shepherd. But on that day, and that's the focus of the promise, but on that day, well, from our perspective, we talk about the countless multitude dressed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, gathered before the throne and in front of the Lamb, shouting out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." We talk about the sweetness of being gathered there with all the believers and knowing that we are in eternal life with eternal blessings. From God's perspective, he talks about when I make up my treasured possession. And he talks about the voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with man. And he talks about Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, quote, he will rejoice over you with loud singing. My treasured possession. The third of the phrases earlier on, and a book of remembrance was written. And through the Bible, it goes by a few different names. It is called Your Book of Life, the Scroll of Remembrance, and toward the end of the New Testament, the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, brief pop quiz. If it's called the Lamb's Book of Life, who's writing it? Jesus, the Lamb, of course. And if Jesus writes your name in his book of life, well, then what? If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, even when the entire universe is falling apart, stars going out, and in the description of the Bible, the sky rolling up like a scroll, everything being laid waste, stripped bare, destroyed by fire, cleansed by fire, as all of this is happening, Jesus says, you are mine. He will call you his own. And out of all of the chaos and destruction that will be happening all around on that day, he will keep you safe and bring you into eternal life and on into the new creation. And fourth, toward the end of the Old Testament lesson, once more, you will see the distinction. For us in a world where there doesn't seem to be any distinction between right and wrong, only what is popular and only what is the spirit of the age, you will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. And as right and wrong are obscured through all the things that happen in the world, God promises, once more you will see. And right now, as truth is seen by so many as subjective, whatever you want to believe and whatever your opinion is, God promises, once more you will see the distinction. And right now, as many who serve God suffer, and as many who are self-absorbed and completely immersed in fleshly desires, as they're having the time of their lives, once again, God promises, once more, you will see the distinction. And the Apostle Paul says, if only for this life we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. But God promises, once more you will see the distinction. And where that is established, where the foundation is laid, is in the cross of Jesus. The one who became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the foundation is laid on the third day. Well, you know how the foundation is laid. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. And so Jesus says, and he gets the final word today, and Jesus says, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. And Jesus says, straighten up and lift up your heads, because Your redemption is drawing near. And he is returning to share glory and life with his people. In Jesus' name, amen.